Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Welcome to an HBO podcast from the HBO Late Night series, Real Time with Bill Maher.
Okay, we're on overtime. What will be the fallout from the Rolling Stone retraction of its rape on campus story? Yes.
Well, it's a real unfortunate thing because rape in America is an important issue. And
they somehow found the one fraternity on the one night where there wasn't a rape.
That's not how I would put it, but you know,
of course not.
It's a collective failure in journalism, and it has to be built. Journalism has to be built on trust, right? The trust of the source, the trust of the reporter, of the editor, the trust of the people above that, and every level of this, when you read the forensic account of what happened in that story, I can't understand how it made publication, you know, as an editor. We make these tough decisions all the time, but it has changed the conversation about rape where it should actually be a conversation in this country.
But you can understand how it made publication because, I mean, it was the biggest story in just about anything for about 2.5 weeks. And clearly, I completely agree with you about, you know, that it was a complete shit show from beginning to end in terms of what they were doing. But they, you know, they thought the lead for the story, it was just too good. It was too good.
The lesson is you can't work backwards from the result you want. That's what we did with Iraq, isn't it? You know, they wanted to find weapons of mass destruction.
That was quite a segue there,
so
Bill.
Dick Cheney
I gotta say, that was really impressive.
But it's kind of true.
That's why
Dick Cheney was like,
money.
Find me a guy who thinks there's weapons of mass destruction. And Rolling Stone was like, this is an issue. And the difference is that this really is an issue when there weren't really any weapons of mass destruction.
There were alarm bells, you know, that both the reporter and the editor had, and nobody trusted them.
Yeah. Well, how can they not, how can nobody be fired as a result of this? That's what I don't understand.
Because there's legal liability.
Right.
They're scared.
That if they fire
someone, they're admitting that they...
Well, will they ever publish another story by that reporter?
Well, they have... No, that's the thing. If they don't publish another story, then they have effectively fired her, and that could be taken as evidence.
And you can't put all the blame on her either. I mean, really, it was layer after layer after layer where they had fallen down.
I can put a fair amount of blame on her.
Right. I mean, she was certainly culpable of lying.
I'm talking about the reporter.
Because
she specifically said, you know, no one pushed me to ask these three people for their real information or to track them.
But you're supposed to know that.
I started out at a newspaper
called the Daily Local News in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Tiny paper. We once ran a headline, Woman Beats Off Would-Be Rapist. That's how... that's the kind of newspaper it was. We ran front page pictures of zucchini. We would never have printed that story.
Of course not.
And I don't know of anybody who would have. That's what I'm saying, though. How can you not? Anyway. So.
That's a great headline, Dave.
It's a true headline.
Is it really?
I didn't write it, yeah.
Woman beats off rapist.
Would-be rapist.
Oh, that's...
Nobody noticed it. Bill, it was too late.
What is the impact of Obama's recent announcement calling for an end to conversion therapies? Yes, that's the pray away the gay, right? That's the belief that you can pray away gay. And the president, to his credit, is coming out and saying, come on, this is crazy. You cannot pray away the gay.
Hey, it worked for me.
Is that how you became straight, Dave?
I'm just trying to be part of the panel. It's only to participate.
Yeah, that's okay.
It comes at the same time the White House has a gender-neutral restroom. I mean, the president is trying to set an example there, and the employees in the White House have actually said, you know, they feel like he is trying to lead there, and perhaps that will catch on. I mean, you can liken it to the minimum wage debate or, you know, some of the other things he's trying to do, but it's certainly a way to...
What is the view of the conservatives you know, those great ones, on praying away the gay?
Well, first of all, the conversion therapy stuff, some of it is weak or bullshit Freudianism rather than, sort of prayer-based. It's sort of a holdover from Freudian theories of homosexuality. And I think the consensus is it doesn't work, and it's
what was Freud's view on homosexuality?
Freud's is this. How much time do we have on overtime? Freud had a lot of views on homosexuality, but
boil
Freud
it down.
I mean, the Freudian take was or at least the interpretation of the Freudian take was that I think he called homosexuality inversion, and he, like everything with Freud, he connected it to issues with your mother here and your father there and so on. And so the argument was, you have a distant father and a domineering mother, and so you grow up to be gay. And this was sort of a strain in psychotherapy for a long time. And it was picked up by some social and religious conservatives, I think, starting in the 60s and 70s. Anyway, it's a longer story, but that's
no, I appreciate
boiled down.
That, yeah.
I mean, I'm a little skeptical about... I think there's a distinction here between what parents do to kids and what adults do. There are, it's a free country, and there are gay adults who want to go to a therapist who talks to them about becoming straight. And that's reality, and it's a free country. And I don't think it's the president's place necessarily to say, I don't think it's the president's place to say what consenting adults can do with their therapist in the privacy of his office.
I think what it's getting at is that under the radar of very overt discrimination against gays, there is a lot of this kind of stuff that gays have to put up with. That I think he's trying to change the culture, not so much propose a big new law. I think it is true that there is a lot of this kind of below the radar stuff that is directed towards gays that makes life hard.
And I think the government has always had a role in saying about any health supplement that's phony, wouldn't they point that out and say that there's just sawdust in this pill, it's not real?
And there's no evidence that it works?
There's no evidence that prayer works for anything. Issues of like Freudian therapy, honestly, if you want to get into saying the government needs to start regulating whether talking to therapy works or not, then you're going to open... like six layers of, there's no evidence that Freudian or Jungian therapy works generally, right? That's an extreme statement. But if you had the FDA regulating Jungian therapists, you'd get into a ridiculous situation.
You and I both know.
You're going to get a lot of emails from psychiatrists.
Yeah. You and I both know that Obama's really an atheist. So, he could have said prayer doesn't work at all.
Am I going to get Scott Walker'd if I don't say that I think Obama is a liberal Christian but a Christian? So
okay. So Fareed, is our recent obsession with STEM education misguided? Oh yes. Now here's something we agree on: liberal education. I think that's fantastic that you're taking the banner for that. I got a liberal education. I was an English major. I use English in my career, and we have forgotten all these subjects, and that's one reason why we're so in such a mess politically. People don't take history. They don't take civics. They don't know anything.
Right. And I think there's a mistake, the mistaken view that the only way you can get a job or do well, professionally is to do this kind of STEM. STEM is great if you're interested in science. Of course, you should follow your passion. But there are many, many ways to live a productive working life.
Sure.
Lots of people who have English degrees, history degrees. And the truth of the matter is, what your second or third or fifth or sixth job is going to have so little to do with what you trained for that what you want are these broad basic skills that can last you for your whole life in your working life. But also, you have other lives as well, as a parent, as a reader, as a friend. This is something that helps you with all of that. But the most important thing I think people worry so much about is these broad-based skills actually are more portable as the economy changes, because that's the stuff. You don't know what industry you're going to be in 20 years from now, but you know that you're going to need to think clearly, express yourself clearly, work with other people, those kind of common skills.
And what happened to the idea of the Renaissance man? The most interesting man in the world, dude. Don't we all want to be like him?
Yeah, and he's a history major.
Yeah.
Or philosophy,
Well, okay, does the panel have any expectations for Obama's meeting with Raul Castro?
Fareed?
Look, I think it's terrific that we are trying after 5 decades of isolation, we're trying to see whether commerce and capitalism and trade will change Cuba more than isolation and sanctions and threats. Because I tend to, in a weird way, I think I'm the capitalist here. You know, I think give the Cuban people a taste of the world that they have missed out on, and you will see it will be the acid that will dissolve this dictatorship over time.
We could have done this 50 years ago, and today Cuba would be St. Bart's. Jay-Z would be partying there.
This was one of the president's,
when he was
a candidate,
yes.
This was one of his issues against Hillary Clinton, saying, it was a different Castro, but saying, yes, I would sit down and talk to him and talk to Ahmadinejad, and this was sort of his point.
List of dictators that we have done business with, there were about 100th on the list as far as awfulness.
I don't particularly have a problem with the opening to Cuba, but I don't think we should kid ourselves necessarily that capitalism is actually a solvent of dictatorships. I mean, we've been making that argument with China for the last 30 years.
China is much freer than it was 30 years ago. I mean, I've been going to China for 20 odd years, and people have the ability to own property. They can move. They can get the job they want. These are all real freedoms. You know that. I mean, Ross, the freedom to own property is freedom.
Freedom to work is freedom. I'm just saying the dictatorship itself also benefits from managing the opening, right? And
Dave, you're near Cuba.
I live in Miami. My wife is Cuban. She's actually Cuban-Jewish. That's what they call it. They didn't come on rafts. They parted the Caribbean. But they are. But my wife is Cuban. Her family all fled Castro. I know many Cubans. Miami people, they're viewed as fanatics. They're not. The second generation, third generation, like my wife, they're much more realistic. But there's one thing they all agree on, which is, yes, good, let's, open. Cubans are sending a lot of money down there anyway, as it is. But nobody in Miami believes that the Castros are going to give up any power whatsoever. Nobody believes that it's going to get any better politically for a long time. And that the people who believe that are very naive.
But they're both very old, the Castros.
But they've got all these thugs working for them. They've got a whole apparatus. Those people aren't
The thing about dictatorships is when they're in place, you think that they go on forever. And then when they collapse, you always think, God, how was it able to stay so? Think about all these dictatorships we've seen.
Well, what about China?
Gaddafi, people like that.
Mao died and China still...
China is the most successful economic development in human history. Cuba is not.
Right. Yeah. True. Okay. Dave, what is the secret to your youthful hair? And do you worry...
I've been wanting to ask that all night.
And do you worry about young guy hair, old guy face? Is that something that you... is that a concern that you have? Because that is a... And we know it's real, but it's very...
I get accused of not having real hair, but thank you give me this opportunity on television to say, no, this is my fucking hair. This is my haircut. That I've had the same haircut since childhood.
I know. It's amazing. It is a freak of nature. All right. Thank you, panel.
Thank you.
Thank you, audience.
Catch all new episodes of Real Time with Bill Maher every Friday night at 10, or watch him anytime on HBO On Demand. For more information, log on to hbo.com.